Good. Thank you all for joining me. Let me just go through a series of things, some of which are kind of in the category of end of the year, and see what you want to talk about. I will say that yesterday I thought we made some significant headway yesterday and well, this week on the Excellence in Mental Health Act. The Senate Finance Committee voted to put that act in whatever the healthcare bill at the first of the year would be that would include the doctor payment issue, the one sort of must-pass healthcare bill that we have. Now, the House hasn't agreed to that yet, but the Senate, with only one dissenting vote out of both parties, agreed to put that in the bill. And then yesterday, Senator Stabenow, the other principal sponsor of this act, and this would really expand the potential of community mental health centers and federally qualified centers to offer mental health under the same auspices that they offer other health, and to have the reimbursement done in the same way as happens in those. And we had a news conference yesterday with Glenn Close, whose sister and whose nephew have both struggled with mental health issues, but we had the veterans groups, the law enforcement groups, as well as the mental health groups at that news conference. I think that's available if any of you want to look at any or all of it through my staff has that, and it got quite a bit of attention yesterday. I'm hopeful that this is something we can get done. We've talked about this on this call before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but this is an issue that just has not been looked at as a society or as a federal government as something we wanted to deal with. When the Senate committee that deals with these issues had a hearing in January of this year on mental health, it was the first hearing they'd had since 2007. Senator Stabenow and I went to the Senate floor and talked about where we were on this issue on October 31st, which was the 50th anniversary of President Kennedy signing the Community Mental Health Act into law, but a lot of things that should have been done and could have been done as part of that movement toward more community services hasn't. At the same time, the hospitals that used to serve mental health needs, many of them have in many cases been closed. So I think we have a real chance to get this done. I'm going to continue to work hard to get it done, and we can give you more information on that as you may want it. The Senate did pass this agreement on how much money we'd spend on discretionary spending this year and next year. I think the most positive thing that could come out of that is the Appropriations Committee that I serve on, and the Appropriations Committee in the House actually going through this process the right way for the first time in over half a dozen years. There are people that in January will start their eighth year in the Senate who have never seen the appropriations process work one time anywhere close to the way it's supposed to work. And one of the things that you and I talked about on this call earlier in this year was how many people were going to be impacted by the line-by-line cutting. Sequestration said that's bad, but at some level, either worse or almost as bad or equally bad. They said, you're cutting a budget that was the budget we wanted 6 or 7 years ago. So that's how long it's been since the federal government did what should be its principal domestic responsibility, which is prioritizing how we spend people's money, which also then prioritizes what the goal of the government is, and I certainly intend to work hard to do everything I can to see that for FY15, the spending year that begins October 1, that we have as near a fully functional process as possible, almost like it was a demonstration project for the country and the Congress of here's what happens if you do this the right way. The National Defense Authorization Act will be voted on later today. I voted yesterday to have for cloture that would bring it to the floor. I'll vote on for that bill today, the defense bill. One of the biggest things in that bill that affects just our state is the ability to make the final transfer of the Bannister Federal Complex to move that process along. As you know, if you're on from the west side of the state, about 3,500 employees worked at that location, and it looks like we're a long way toward keeping all 3,500 of those jobs and those responsibilities in Kansas City in lease space right now, and we'll see where that goes, but lease space that will keep that federal work in our state. There are about 100 jobs at the National Oceanic and Atmosphere area that are not yet absolutely determined, but the other 3,400 appear to be securely determined for the next several years as people who will be working in Kansas City. There are other things in there if you want to talk about them, some other priorities that I had or that Senator McCaskill and I may have both had together. The discussion continues to go on about the President's health care bill. I think from their point of view, it continues to be very disappointing, and it's disappointing from the point of view of anybody who would like to see the health care system work better. I was on the floor yesterday. Again, you can look at that if you want to, talking about the legislative ideas that I introduced in 2009 and have been talking about either before or since then, of the things we could do to improve the current health care system. The President's assertions that nobody else had any other ideas or nobody still has any other ideas just isn't true. Now, you know, if he wants to defend his ideas, that's fine. But he shouldn't be allowed to defend them by saying nobody else has other thoughts. I headed that effort for the House when I was in the House. We had ideas that, while maybe not covered quite like the President's proposals, were pretty widely covered and pretty widely understood. And they were, any of them could have passed individually. It didn't take a 2,700-page bill. All of them in the individual area they were targeted on would have improved people's access to a really good healthcare system, the problem of which was that not everybody had the level of access that Americans would want people to have. The New York Times had a poll today, sort of the ultimate shot at the President's healthcare plan, and the CBS New York Times poll, it said 53% of the people who are uninsured don't like the President's plan. 53% of the people who are uninsured don't like it. Was yesterday. I said today it was yesterday. 53% don't like the President's plan, and that's of the people who don't have insurance. So you've really got a problem when you put a plan together saying the purpose of this plan is to help the uninsured, and then even the uninsured decide they don't like your plan. Let me hit two or three other things here. Pretty quickly, I joined an amicus brief to the Supreme Court on whether or not the EPA has the standards to regulate air quality in place. I believe, and others do, that that's left up to the states. The EPA got into this business by saying they could and then did regulate automobiles. Now they've decided they could regulate everything irrespective of what a state wants to do. A bill that I introduced that would create a special envoy for Near East and South Asia and South Central Asia for religious freedom was voted out of the Foreign Affairs Committee this week, and hopefully we'll get to that soon next year. In another bill that really shouldn't have much controversy and might not get a lot of interest, but something called the Monuments Men Recognition Act that Senator Menendez and I introduced to award the Congressional Gold Medal to people in World War II who concentrated their efforts on saving the treasures that were being looted and shipped around and in all kinds of bad locations. A number of Missourians were involved in that. People from the University of Missouri, people from the Nelson Atkins Museum in Kansas City, people from one person from William Jewell College, but a number from somebody from St. Louis University who worked at the Vatican Film Library. A number of Missourians were involved, and hopefully people who worked in that effort will get some recognition that they haven't had up until now. And also today, I'm the co-sponsor of more sanctions for Iran, not less, but more sanctions for Iran, if at the end of this six-month interim period they haven't actually made significant progress toward their determination that they will never pursue nuclear weapons. And that was introduced today. The White House doesn't like it, but I think there were as many Democrat co-sponsors as there were Republican co-sponsors of that act. Farm bill, I think it's where we said, I think last week we had a chance to talk about this. If we didn't, I agree with the view that the farm bill ending doesn't need to go into next year immediately, because you've got about, even though the January 1, you go back to some law from the 1940s, it really doesn't have any management impact for about a month. So what we're trying to do here, even though the House passed a 30-day extension, what we're trying to do is keep pressure on the Congress to get this done in January. If you don't put pressure on to get it in January, then you've got 30 extra days in February, and you just can't work through the entire planting calendar and assume you're going to have a farm bill sometime. So let's talk about whatever you want to talk about for a few minutes, and I appreciate your calling, and I wish you all the best for the holidays that you celebrate, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, whatever you're celebrating this time of the year. I'm wishing you the very best for that celebration for you and your family.